I should not have started the podcast like this. Why would I press record and then put satsuma in my mouth? Here is some ASMR satsuma eating. I hope that was enjoyable. Okay. Okay, sorry. Welcome to the podcast. Today I just wanted to do a little solo episode because there were things I have been thinking about. So this little thought process and examples that I'm going to talk about today were inspired by a tweet that has been doing the rounds the last day or so. And the tweet is that we need to stop glamorizing overworking, the absence of sleep, good diet, exercise, relaxation, and time with friends and family isn't something to be applauded. Too many people wear their burnout as a badge of honor, and this needs to change. Now, I agree with this to some extent. So obviously I think that sleep, good diet, exercise, relaxation, spending time with friends and family is massively important. But the issue I have with this is I don't think that it comes from overworking. In fact, I don't think we're burnt out because we're overworking. I think we're burnt out because we end up working long hours with very little productivity. And part of that is the way that we're paid, or the way that most people are paid. And the way that most people are paid is that they are paid for their time, not for their productivity, or not for the amount of work they produce. And it's very hard to do this in some situations. But in many situations, it could be done. It's just still not how we work. So for example, I was talking to my flatmate, who is the manager of a hotel. And I was saying that, oh, you could, you know, wouldn't it be more incentive if you could say to the housekeepers, you know, once you've cleaned all the rooms and done all your work, you can go home. Like, what's the bet they would actually work harder and be happier if you could do that? And actually, if we look at motivation from that standpoint, the opposite is often true as well. So actually, if we can make something take longer, given that we're paid per hour to do something, then it is actually an incentive for us to take longer to do something, which as a business or a boss is the absolute last thing, the last way that you want to incentivize the people that work for you. And back to the tweet, like, the harsh truth is you're not burnt out because you're not working hard enough. You're not burnt out because you're working too hard. Like, I don't think any millennials need to hear that they're working too hard. In fact, I don't think many people who are of an age of working need to be told that they're working too hard. There's a very small number of people. The number of people that, you know, the kind of people that probably aren't on Twitter reading tweets like that. And I think that's another problem with messages like this, is that they're so easy to resonate with. Like, it's very nice to hear that you should be working less, or that you should take more time off. That's a nice thing to hear. Like, of course, your bias is going to side with that. That's why it was shared so many times. And this is the same sort of message that you see in, like, the anti-diet crowd. Those who have really struggled to diet, who actually might benefit the most from dieting, are much more likely to resonate with anti-diet messages. Those who probably want to feel like they're overtraining are much more likely to resonate with messages about overtraining, whereas those who are actually overtraining are far less likely to listen to these messages, which is kind of the whole issue with putting out information on social media, is that the wrong people often listen to the messages that you put out. And the likelihood is you're not dieting too hard, you're not training too hard, you're not working too hard, you're just not doing it in a smart way. And what we need to remember is that recovery, more recovery or better recovery, isn't about working less. Like, if we look at this from a training response point of view, the idea behind optimally recovering from a training session is so you can train harder the next time. That's how you build strength. So you create a stimulus on that muscle, the muscle adapts to that, and then ideally you can lift heavier in your next session or in the preceding sessions. And when we look at this from a working point of view, what I do see a lot of is people working from like 6 a.m. till 11 p.m. or at least they've got their laptop open for that amount of time, which means they must be working. Now, no wonder you feel burnt out because you haven't switched off. And I am in complete agreement that people do feel burnt out, but it's not because they're overworking. It's because they're doing low level, low productivity work for the whole day, rather than setting aside time and working and actually focusing and getting stuff done. They spend the whole day and they produce very little. It is about working smart, not necessarily working hard, although both may be applicable here. And I think we do have this almost fear of hard work now. And I find hard work extremely satisfying. I don't know why people are scared of hard work. It is, without a doubt, the surest way to get results is to put in hard work. And yet, often it seems like there's so much content put out about avoiding hard work. Now, here's an analogy, and I'm not sure it totally works, but it kind of resonates with me. So working all day and producing very little, if we look at that, if we relate that to building muscle, it would be like doing hundreds and hundreds of bodyweight squats in an attempt to build as much leg muscle as possible. So basically, you are creating some stimulus, you're doing something, but what's going to be a way better stimulus for growth is a shorter, sharper, more focused resistance training workout that actually creates a bigger stimulus for growth, and then you rest and recover before that so that you can lift heavier or work harder again. This sort of behavior is the same reason that people feel burnt out from dieting, because some people have literally been dieting for years. Now, obviously, maybe some yo-yo dieting in there, or just kind of low-level dieting and have that pressure on themselves for years. Whereas if they'd actually just done it right once, like actually put yourself in a significant deficit for a period of time and lose that body fat once and do it right, then you could have potentially just dieted for, I don't know, 8 to 16 weeks, got the physique that you wanted, and now be maintaining that, rather than yo-yoing up and down for years, which of course leaves you burnt out, frustrated, and exhausted with that process. The point I'm trying to make here is diet smart, not hard, and apply effort where it's gonna get you the most results. And that, the direction of that and supporting that process, is exactly what I do as a coach. So a lot of the time, it's not lack of effort that is the reason that people aren't getting the results they want in terms of diet and exercise. It's actually that they're putting way too much emphasis on things that don't really matter, and they're wasting a hell of a lot of time and energy on things that aren't getting them closer to their goals. So if you are feeling a bit burnt out and you think you might be overworked, I challenge you to try some of these things. So make a plan for your day. Don't just get up and think, I'm going to work until I go to bed. Set some time off. Consistent breaks are important, and spacing out the amount of time you have to concentrate. So we know that, I'm sure people have been told this since school, that actually you can only concentrate for quite a short period of time. Different numbers are thrown around between like 20 minutes and an hour. But realistically, that's probably quite individual, and you'll know when your concentration is wavering. And what's a much better thing to do is take a bit of a break and come back and then do some really high quality work again, rather than spending 4 hours doing very low level work. You could spend 1 hour and get just as much done. So make a plan for what you need to do for the day, make a list, set timed breaks. Some people schedule their breaks. I don't like to do this. I tend to like to just take them when they naturally occur. So if I'm in the middle of something and it's saying I need to take a break, but I'm in the zone, my workflow's going really well, I'm not going to take a break. But I'll know that maybe at the end of a given task, or when I know that my attention's just wavering a bit and I'm looking around for my phone, then I'm like, okay, it's probably time to take a break. Which brings me on to my next point, which is put your phone outside your room, or turn off notifications, turn off the internet if you're not working on the internet, and you will get so much more done. Like, you've probably noticed this by doing it by accident before. So, for example, if you've been traveling on a train and you don't have Wi-Fi, actually the amount of work you get done because you don't have things popping up and extra reminders coming in, and even the amount of headspace that you have, because you might be thinking, oh yeah, I can see my emails come in, but I'm not actually answering them at the moment. I'm trying to write this presentation. But it's taking away your attention and now you're thinking about something else. So the amount of quality work that you'll get done as well will increase significantly. And if you're self-employed, I feel you, okay? It is really hard to switch off as someone who is self-employed. But do set boundaries, because whoever it is, whether it's like people you're working with or for, or your clients, they will respect your boundaries if you set them. In fact, they'll probably respect you more if you set boundaries. I used to have a boss who would have an auto response email, and it would say, I only answer emails between these times. And rather than thinking, oh, get him, like he's only answering emails between these times, like he must think he's better than anyone else, it actually just made me respect him more. I was like, oh, he's very busy. And also it sets an expectation. So I know that I can email him, but I'm not going to hear back until those times or between those times. And then you're not leaving people hanging. Like, they know what to expect and you've set your boundaries. And if you stick to those boundaries, then your clients will stick to them too. So if one of your clients does, email you at 10 p.m. at night and you respond to that, they'll think that that's okay. That's giving off the impression that you'll respond to things late at night. Now, I don't have rules where my clients can't email me late at night, mainly because some of them don't live in the UK. But I won't respond to them late at night. And I think that's where you set your boundaries. So you should turn off your notifications after X time, which means that you're not going to respond to that. And if you want to set specific times, if you're like, do you know what? I only want to check my emails between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. and between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. That's all I'm going to do every day. It's probably a better way to do it, because then you've got a lot of time in between to actually focus and not be distracted. What I want people to get from this podcast is how important productivity is, and that it's not just about the hours you put in, it's about the quality of the hours that you're putting in. And less hours at a higher quality will always outdo more hours at a lower quality. Plus, you'll have a way better life balance and you'll enjoy your work way more as well. And then finally, what I want to say is that if you want to have more time off or a break, or you want to spend more time, like the tweet at the start was about spending more time with your family, with your friends, having time off, blah, 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 that's fine. But you don't need to precurse that, or you don't need to explain that to anyone. Like, you don't need to say, oh, I need time off because I'm burnt out. You don't have to justify wanting time off, especially if you're self-employed. Like, one of the benefits of being self-employed is you are your own boss. Sure, if you don't work, then you probably won't make any money. But equally, you're your own boss. You can choose your times. One of the reasons you went self-employed was probably because you wanted that flexibility. No one's saying that you need to work harder if you're happy with how you are. And no one's saying that you need to be able to earn X figures a month, no matter what other personal trainers are doing. Like, what are your goals? What are your values? Do you want to spend more time with your family? Does that mean earning less money? Does that matter to you? Many, many questions, many, many questions. But hopefully this was somewhat useful to people. I just thought it was interesting because when I first read the tweet, I was like, oh yeah, that's totally true. And then I was like questioning my own biases about it. And I was like, actually, I don't know if I totally agree with that. Or I do agree with some of the premise, but I also don't think that most people are working too hard, and I don't think that that's why most people are burnt out. Anyway, I think that concludes my little podcast ramble today. I think I want to do another one because I had on my story something yesterday, and it was because there was a clip of me from a podcast, and all the clip said was, I'm a really good online trainer, and I sounded like really arrogant saying that. And it was interesting because it made me think, actually, why are we so uncomfortable saying that we're good at something, even if that's our job. Like, it is my job to be a good online coach. That's what I do. That is what I spend my life doing. Of course I'm good at it. Like, if I wasn't good at it, I would go away and get good at it. But it's strange that it's a little bit uncomfortable to say that, or that often that we come across as arrogant when we say that, or at least we perceive that we would. And I put a little poll on my story, and I said, do people feel uncomfortable about saying they're good at something? And it was like 89% said they did, which I think is a really bad thing. I think we should be able to say we're good at something. And imagine going to a coach. Like, if I was going to someone, if I was going to get my car fixed, and I went into the garage and they were like, oh yeah, we're not very good at this, or they weren't confident enough to be like, yeah, we're good at fixing cars, that's what we do, that, like, I would not have any confidence in that. Now imagine going to a trainer and they're like, they can't say that they're a good trainer, they can't say that they're good at what they do. Like, you should at least have the confidence to say that. So I think I'm going to delve into that. I'm going to do a bit of research, a bit of reading around it. I'll maybe have Shona on because she has an amazing mind. I'll maybe ask Andy about it as well. Get some input into what people think and why we feel like that. And I'm sure imposter syndrome will come up, but I often think that that term is thrown around wrongly. So maybe I'll talk about that as well. Anyway, goodbye.